What do the following words mean? Conversion, repentance, regeneration, justification. During the month of January, we're asking and answering the question, what is the gospel? Would you pray for each Sunday service? Would you invite a friend, a neighbor, a family member, or even a stranger to head to ajaxbaptist.ca/sermons-audio, where they can listen to the good news that we are seeking to share with our community? Remember, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. The Ajax Baptist Church Sunday Morning Reload, January 5, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist, we hope you've enjoyed a blessed Christmas season and that you're refreshed and ready for the new year. The text this morning is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11. And the message is entitled, What is the Gospel? Our number one message. Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Amen. Well, welcome here. In particular, welcome to our visitors. This month, we are tackling the theme of the gospel. And the gospel really is God's good news. You have in the bulletin an insert that Juliet and I received. It was given out of the Shepherd's Guide. It's entitled Steps to Peace with God. We won't take time to look at that right now, but that's a very infamous tract prepared by Dr. Billy Graham. And Dr. Billy Graham, who now is in the Lord's presence, now there in heaven, had an opportunity to preach the gospel probably to more people than anyone else in the entire world. And so he regularly shared the gospel. And there are a variety of ways that even we can share with neighbors and with friends. You can sit at a coffee shop and take a napkin and sketch that out, or get out your phone and show someone the plan of salvation. And so what I want us to do during this month is to look at the passages in Scripture that deal with the gospel, but then also share some of the tools that are available. We're going to start this morning by just taking a quick look at a really short video entitled, What is the Gospel? Pay attention. You might want to find the link. We can send that to you as we seek to share with others the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you.
This is where it all begins. The Bible tells us that God has created you and me, the universe, and everything else. Because God is our creator, He has the right to tell us how to live. He created us to love, serve, and enjoy being with Him forever. God is perfectly holy and righteous, which means He is completely pure and hates all evil. Instead of seeking God and loving Him, we have all rebelled against Him and done wrong. This places us in danger of eternal punishment, which we rightly deserve because of our sin against our Creator. One day we will all die and be held accountable for every evil thought, word, and deed. Here comes the good news, the gospel, that even though we are sinners who deserve hell, God, in His great love and mercy, has provided a Savior so that we can be forgiven. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and died on the cross, taking on Himself the punishment for the sin of all those who will turn and trust in Him. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, conquering death itself. How does this apply to us? God commands us to turn away from our sin and to trust in Christ alone for our forgiveness and salvation. If we turn toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus and what He has done, we are saved and born again into a new and eternal life with God our Creator. Now that's good news indeed.
Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is the first letter written by the Apostle Paul to this church in Corinth. Corinth is a city in Greece, and Paul was writing to this church which he had established, and he's answering for them a number of questions. There was correspondence. They didn't have smartphones. I don't know if they were better off or not. What do you think? They didn't have text messages. They didn't have any electricity or power. Everything had to be delivered by hand. And somehow a letter had been written, probably on animal skins, probably on parchment, certainly not on paper. The Bible didn't look like it does today, but they had written Paul a letter, and now he's writing back to this church and explaining to them some of the answers to the questions they have. It's a large congregation. It was a large church and lots of questions. And so as we come to chapter 15, Paul has he's covered a number of topics, but now follow along, please. There's a Bible there in the pew if you haven't brought your own, or if you'd like one of those, please help yourself. We want to bless you with God's Word. Follow along as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, and of course sisters too, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, there it is again, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That is, they've died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, Paul says, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. So during these next four Sundays, we're going to try to answer this question: what is the gospel? What is the gospel? For some of you, say, okay, I already know this. I'm going to have a good sleep Sunday mornings from 10:30 to whenever the pastor's done. Well, I'm not so sure that we all know the gospel as well as we think we should. Do you know where to find the gospel throughout both the Old and New Testament? Maybe there's some new things that you'll learn. What is the gospel? The answer for today's study is, it is our number one message. The gospel of all the messages that we're trying to communicate to Ajax and Durham region, to Pickering, Whitby, whatever community you live in, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, is our number one message. It's the most important message we have to get out. So we've got to be accurate. We've got to find creative ways. That's why we use videos, right? Videos weren't there when the Bible was written. But we're finding different ways to engage. We're in a very visual generation. Lots of people are watching and listening, using smartphones, using podcasts. That's sort of the new currency, isn't it? The new language that people are talking. And some of us are visual learners. We learn more visually than we do orally. In other words, we see. There are just so many. So this is a great tool for us to sit down and say to a friend, to say to a neighbor, say to a family member, take a look. Here's 2 minutes. I only promise 2 minutes is all it's going to take. What do you think of this? Have you ever heard this? A number of years ago, I was living in Toronto. We were living on Dundas Street in Toronto. We were living in a semi-detached house, and we wanted to get to know our neighbors. And so I went next door to them, and they were a Chinese couple. They had been there with their family. They'd lived in Toronto, believe it or not, for over 10 years. And they introduced, we took our talking about our jobs and our families, and they said to me, what do you do? Well, how do you explain what it means to be a pastor, because I was in a pastoral role. And so I used the illustration of the gospel. I said, I have a responsibility. I'm in charge. I work in a religious, that's what the kind of the language I used. And I, believe it or not, they had been in Toronto for 10 years, and they had never heard the gospel. I think, how is this possible? This is Canada, isn't it? Don't we sing even at national, on hockey games or whatever, God, God, God keep our land glory? Do we still sing that? Haven't changed those words. So there's some kind of a knowledge of God. And people who come here from other countries hopefully realize that this country has at least some kind of a heritage in the past that referenced God. We used to stand, public school. Anybody remember those days? What did you stand and sing? The national anthem? And you remain standing for what? The Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, you prayed it together. Now, again, it was, you know, not everybody believed it. Praying the Lord's Prayer doesn't make you a Christian. But there was that kind of a reference. But it's hard to believe that people could live. I think there are lots of people living here in Ajax, living in Durham region, who don't know the gospel. Haven't heard the gospel. I moved the sign that was on the front door. I put it out on the sign on the street. You'll notice that on the way in. We're going to use it on the website. We're going to find all kinds of ways to engage people with the gospel. That's the number one message. So it's the number one message for us to get out. First of all, it's the number one message we need to define. So we want to define the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians, you've got to keep your Bibles open there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or grab one out of the pew, and verse 3, Paul says, For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. There's where I'm getting the answer for my question. Paul is saying to this church and saying to us in 2020, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the number one message to define. It's the gospel, nothing more. Nothing less, nothing else. It's the gospel. Now, when you open up your Bible, if you have a New Testament, maybe you remember the days when Gideons, remember when Gideons used to come to school? And grade 6, they'd give out, or grade 5, whatever it was, they gave out New Testaments, and you gave some kind of a presentation. And as you open up your little red New Testament, and you'd find those first four books of the New Testament. Help me out. The first book of the New Testament is Matthew. And then Mark, Luke, and John. What do we call those four books together? The Gospels. In fact, if you've got a Bible that typically is, you know, translated properly, it'll say the Gospel according to Matthew. The Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to John. It's the good news about Jesus, but you've got four different witnesses. It's like someone, you know, police officers called in Durham, you know, Durham's finest, coming called on an accident, and there's an accident scene, and there are four witnesses who are telling the officer, well, this is what happened. What does he have to do? I mean, there was only one accident. But four different angles, right? One person was coming from, what am I, the west this way? I always lose my direction once I get inside this place. But, you know, one saw it from the west, one saw it from a distance, one was up close. It's the same accident. It's the same event, described four different ways. That's what we have in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all describing the gospel. So the gospel is our number one message to define. And you'll hear, if you listen, if you go online or talk to other churches, you'll hear some churches talk about the full gospel. Well, the full gospel is right here, friends. The full gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Number two, he was buried. And number three, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's it. That's all. So if you get clear on that, you will understand what the gospel, the full gospel, is what God's word says it is. Some churches talk about the social gospel. Yes, it's, you know, Pastor Keith, it's fine for you to talk about God and how important it is to believe in God. We want to do good things for people. Well, so do I. But doing good things for other people, even if you're the most generous person in all the world, but if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you won't go to heaven. You can look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, Jesus meets a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. He was a Jewish follower of God. He was a prominent leader. And he came to Jesus by night after a long, busy day of ministry, and he has this conversation, and Jesus says to this religious man, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, what are you talking about? What does it mean to be born again? Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. Born again? What does it mean to be born again? Could you explain that? If someone on the street said to you today, what does it mean to be born again? Do you know what that means? We'll work our way through that as we get to that passage in the amazing chapter of John. So what is the gospel? It's here before us. Christ died. He was buried. Why is that so important? Because it confirmed he was truly dead, right? He didn't just faint. He didn't just pass out, and then when they put him in the tomb, that he revived and came back to life. No, Christ died. He was buried. They sealed the tomb. Remember, the Roman soldiers, and in fact, the enemies of Jesus, were so concerned about his claims, they went to Pilate, who was the Roman governor. Remember that story? And they said to him, listen, this deceiver, that's what they called Jesus. This deceiver said that he would rise on the third day. We'd like you to put soldiers on either side of the tomb so that he can't, you know, his disciples can't steal the body and say, guess what? He rose, and we just can't find the body anywhere. I love it. Pilate, you know what Pilate said? I love it. Go make the tomb as secure as you can. Now tell me, I've taken a lot of funerals. The first 2 years I was in Northern Ontario in ministry, I took 30 funerals in 2 years. In fact, the funeral director said to me when I was there, he said, do you do anything else? I said, well, I try to be a pastor in between. That church and that community had a lot of death at that time. But here's the challenge. Pilate says, go make the tomb as secure as you can. How securely can you make the tomb when God's inside? How did it work? How secure were they? Up from the grave he arose, right? Third day, Easter Sunday morning, the women who are so heavy-hearted, the followers of Jesus, you can imagine they've got spices, you know, that everything happened so quickly on Good Friday, and the body wasn't even properly prepared for burial. So they're taking spices, we're gonna anoint the body. And as they get there, the angel says to them, he's not here. He's risen. Remember those words? Just like he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Friends, I can't wait to eat. Can I preach an Easter Sunday to, you know, can we take down the poinsettias? Is that all right? We could take down, and we could put up some lilies. You know, people say, you know, the only time I come to church, there are always poinsettias or lilies. Well, come more often, right? But no, you know, Easter's a great story because it's true. So Paul is writing, and the whole foundation for the gospel is according to the scriptures. Yeah, I grew up singing. We sang at home. We sang on the way to church. We sang at church. We sang on the way back from church. I got so many songs in my head that I can't get rid of, and I'm thankful. One of the songs we sang growing up in Sunday school was the B-I-B-L-E. Yes. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. So it was a little course that we're trying to get kids to say, this book's important. Of all the books you have, of all the books you can read, of all the books, we had a bookmobile in those days. Anybody remember those days? We lived in such a primitive area in Northern Ontario. Did I say that? You know, we didn't have a proper library in our school. So these small schools, what do? They put a bunch of books on a bus. I don't even know how they kept the books from falling off. Anyway, there were shelves in the bookmobile. It was just so exciting. This is book day. We can borrow a book for another couple of weeks. But of all the books we ever borrowed, of all the books I ever read, this book is the book of books. Amen? In fact, that's what it means. Holy Bible. The word biblos is the word for book. It's the Greek word for book. It was a scroll. The Bible didn't come to us, you know, bound in brown or black or whatever kind of leather you've got. It came as letters. It came on animal skins. It came on parchment. And it was collected. And we can talk about that on another occasion. So here's Paul saying to the church, listen, the scriptures are the foundation for what we believe. This church believes the Word of God. And if you show up here on a Sunday, you're going to hear teaching from the Bible. Because we believe it, right? This is our book, the one book that we want to get across. What is the gospel? We need to define it. Secondly, we need to declare it. The gospel needs to be declared. Look at what Paul says in chapter 15, verse 1. I want to remind you. Anybody forget anything? Anybody have a senior? Is it just, am I the only one having seniors moments? It's like, you know, it's like some of you who get down, you know, you drop something and you say, well, while I'm down here, you know, maybe I should look for something else, right? We forget. You forget your keys. Anybody lost your keys? How about your phone? My daughter's ready to go home after a Christmas celebration the last Saturday. They can't leave. Why? She can't find her phone. You can't go home without your phone. I mean, what would life be like without a phone? A cell phone, a smartphone. So we, oh, everybody, guess what our treasure hunt was for a couple of hours? Find the phone, right? How do we declare it? I want to remind you of the gospel, Paul says, I preached to you. What's preaching? It's saying, good news. It's sounding out good news. Think of the old days when there was no electricity. There wouldn't have been a building like this. It would have been wouldn't have been a pulpit. People would have come into town, and how would they get their attention? Hear ye, right? Now you see someone doing that today. If someone ran into Ajax saying, hear ye, you're thinking, what is wrong with that guy? It must be a reenactment, right? It must be something. We must be going back in time to the days when good news was announced. That's what preaching is. I want to remind you the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you've taken your stand. We'll get to that. By this gospel, there it is again, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. And then he says in verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you. Anybody see any cell phone towers? I mean, the landscape is littered with cell phone towers, aren't they? Isn't it? What do those cell phone towers do? They pass on the signal. The signal comes in, and then it goes on, and it goes on, it goes on, it goes. It happens, and we just, you know, assume it's going to happen. In Northern Ontario, where I grew up so many years ago, there were microwave towers long before cell phones, and on the top of the high hills for communication of radio and others for government purposes, and there would be these towers, and all they could do, they could only pass on what they received. The same with me. You don't want me to come and cleverly invent some new story. That's not going to help you. No, I might find some creative ways, different ways that you've not heard of how to, but what am I called to do if I'm going to preach God's word? I'm to pass on what I've received. That's what Paul did. People have been doing this for a lot of years. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. There it is. The one thing we're looking for a pastor in any church, is someone who will do three things. Prioritize the gospel. Prioritize the gospel, preach the gospel, and propagate the gospel. Amen? Because it matters. If this is the one message, if I don't pass on to you this message, then forget everything else. Number one, if you don't get first things first, Stephen Covey, who's a business, some of you who are in the business world and have taken business training, whether at college or university or maybe an MBA, you know that in business, it's a question of priorities, isn't it? First things first. I'm reading through a book called One Thing. One Thing. I've got a friend who's launching into a ministry. It's a fascinating ministry of sharing the gospel. And he said to me, Pastor Keith, I need some help to keep focused. Anybody need some help on that? I'm going, well, I need help too. Why do you get help? Right? We get distracted. You can be in a business, and if you try to do too many things, what happens to your business? It collapses. One thing. What does KFC do? Basically, They sell chicken. Now, they had to remarket it, right? Because the fried thing was getting a little offensive to people. But it's still fried. What do? Sell chicken. What does Starbucks sell? How do you know that? Because they've been selling it. They sell other things, but they're secondary to what the primary thing is. You follow? And in the church, in a Bible-believing church, everything is secondary to the gospel. So here's my question. What is the gospel purpose for this meeting? If we're going to sing, what is the gospel purpose for singing? If we're going to reach out to the community and invite other people to say, come join us Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, what's the gospel purpose in doing that? As we renovate the building and repurpose it, we're going to say to ourselves, what's the gospel purpose? Why should we do this? We want to get the gospel out. And I want to eliminate from my life anything that hinders the gospel. I don't want to be distracted. You know, like running around with a chicken. I grew up on a farm, and a chicken with its head cut off, I've seen that. Sorry if you're just going to have lunch or you're having chicken for lunch, but you know what that looks like, right? It's slaughter day, and you know, the old days, I mean, not the mechanical days where, you know, chickens are force-fed for night and day and all that stuff. We're talking actually, you know, the butcher, the block, and you cut off the head of the chicken, and then you let the chicken go, and what happens? Like, it's like, I mean, my kids used to thought it was quite fascinating. I don't want to be that kind of a person, running all over the place. No, I want to stay focused on the gospel. Why has God given us this location? To represent the gospel. To preach the gospel. Thirdly, not only do we need to define the gospel and declare the gospel, we need to receive the gospel. We need to respond or believe the gospel. That's your part. That's what Paul says to the Corinthian church. This is what you need to do. First of all, you need to receive it. Now, not everyone cares about the gospel. I think of two people that attended a Billy Graham crusade. Billy Graham preached the gospel. He preached from this passage. And then he invited people to come forward and declare their interest in Jesus Christ. One guy went forward, turned his life over, and became an evangelist. The other guy went outside and had a smoke. Same gospel, same message, same evangelist. One person was impacted, one person was changed, one person was saying, God's given me another chance. I'm going to respond. The other person says, not for me. No thanks. You have a choice, don't you? We're not robots. So God, through Paul, says to this church, you need to receive the gospel. Secondly, you need to take your stand. I was trying to figure out, what's the sport? Is it where you're, is it wrestling? What's the position? Some of you help me out. Where you have to stand so you can't be pushed over. What's that called? What sport is that? Anybody?
Sumo.
Okay, sumo. Are you sumo wrestling? Oh, I don't want to go there. Maybe it might be, right? Right, you position yourself so that no matter how hard someone pushes you, you can't be pushed off. You've taken your stand. Or in the military, right? You've gone forward and you're saying, we're holding this ground. We don't want to give any more ground. We've taken our stand on the gospel. And we hold firmly. I have to be careful when I'm shaking hands with people before and after the service. Some of the men come in and they've got a good handshake. So what do? Give them a good handshake back. And then the next person to come along is someone who's in their early 80s who's got arthritis in their hands. What happens if I give them a good hard shake? That'd be the last handshake I give as a pastor. It's like, no way, I'm not shaking your hand. What does it mean to hold firmly to the gospel? Hold on to the gospel. Don't lose your grip on it. Listen, I've been a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 8 years old. I think I need the gospel now more today than I did when I was 8. Life's more complicated, isn't it? More challenges. How do you face the future without the gospel? How do you face what Lisa's facing without the gospel? How do people cope with life without the gospel? That's the question. I wonder how people get through it. The gospel has to be communicated. And we, listen, I don't expect someone who doesn't give a rip, I'll use that language, or doesn't care about I don't expect them to believe this, right? The Bible's like, what's this? But I claim to be a Christian. Do you? And if I do, then this is true. I have received the gospel. I've taken my stand on the gospel. And I'm holding on to the gospel. And when I stand before God, when God calls me before him, one day I will die. That's a certainty, right? And as I stand before God, and God says to me, Keith, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm a holy God. There's no sin in heaven. Why should I let you into my heaven? What am I going to say? Christ died for my sins. According to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. You promised whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. I'm trusting Jesus. Isn't that the answer? Is that the right answer? It's what I have believed, how I've lived too. Has my life reflected the gospel? I mean, some of you know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. You've known it for years. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You know, when someone, you know, we just come through Christmas season. Someone gives you a gift. And what do you say? How much did I owe you for that? Now, if you bought a gift for someone else, you may have to pay up, right? But someone out of love and out of concern and out of caring for you, if they offer you a gift, you don't reach into your pocket and say, how much do I owe you? What do you say? Thank you. What do you say to a God who so loved the world that he gave his only son? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you say? Thank you. Thank you. For the wages of sin is, help me out, death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing arrangement. That though we are guilty, though we've said and thought and done tons of things that are evil in God's sight, God says to you, come home. Come home. I'm willing to forgive you everything. Just come home. What an amazing God we serve, isn't it? Mercy. It's so different than any other faith in all the world. We're not trying to balance the good. We, you know, if we've done enough good, maybe that'll outweigh the balance. Listen, I could never do enough good, nor could you. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So here's my question. Christ said, I am he, in Revelation chapter 1, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys. Isn't that a lot of times we go to a building? What are you looking for? You're looking for someone to open the door. What has Christ done? He holds the keys. He paid the price. He satisfied God. He paid for my sin completely, past, present, and future, because of his amazing love. Fantastic. This is good news. This is worth sharing. But Paul says to them, he's writing to Christians, to people who say they believe it, and he says to you, you have to hold firmly. I don't know if you know this, but there are two hymns, a hymn and a chorus, that have come to us out of the subcontinent of India. The hymn, the classic hymn, if you've been in church at all, and you may have heard this one, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. That was penned in India. Reginald Heber, Bishop of Calcutta, Anglican bishop, who loved Christ and served Christ, penned that hymn. But there's another chorus that's a little maybe more contemporary or certainly a little different, very different style. And these are the words. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. That chorus came to us from India when a man was pressured to give up his faith in Christ. He sat down and wrote, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back. So as we draw this to a close, I've got a few questions for you to think about as we apply it. Number one, will we define it? One of my duties. I've got a few things to work on this month and next month and maybe the month after, right? One of my main duties for you as a congregation for this community is to define the gospel. Make sure you clear. Say, listen, I know John 3:16. You know the guy that shows up at the big sports events? He always says, John 3:16. Okay, but what is that? That reference doesn't mean anything if you don't know what the words are. But you can find the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. So let's define the gospel. Secondly, will we declare it? I'm looking for all kinds of ways. I'm on Twitter. Let's use that. Facebook. Thank you, Lisa, for your help in that. There's so many ways. We've got a website. We've got all kinds of tools now. And the question I'm asking us is, will we declare it? Will we announce it? Now, let's not be weird, okay? You know, I'm not going to go running out of the church and say, hear ye, hear ye. People are going, is that your new pastor? Oh, yeah, he's a little different. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I'll try not to be too embarrassing, right? I'll go, hey, I heard today on the news, Pastor Keith ran right out of the traffic on 401 and said good news. I mean, that'd be just weird, wouldn't it? That'd be just strange. I'm not going to do, but there are ways that I can declare it. And there are ways that you can declare it. You can sit down. You could take that little outline from Billy Graham and sit down with a friend and say, could I walk you through steps to peace with God? It's all written out for you. Just kind of read it through with them and walk them through it and see what God does. And then lastly, will we devote ourselves to it? I'm asking you, if you're a believer in Christ, some of you are not Christians, we're glad you're here. In fact, I pray that you'll become a follower of Christ. Not just someone who believes and then goes on and lives your life. No, that you will turn from your sin, turn from your way to God's way. That's why we exist, to help people find their way back to God. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. May our lives be radically changed by the gospel. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Keith's message, but we'd like to invite you to join us at Ajax Baptist Church, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, where you can not only hear Pastor Keith live in person, but you can also experience good community fellowship and join us in musical worship and praise. If you have questions about today's message or any other concerns, Pastor Keith would be delighted to hear from you directly. Just call the church at 905-683-4802. We look forward to seeing you soon. Your friends at Ajax Baptist Church.